Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. I wanted to go over what I think is the real indicator as to whether or not the United States economy is actually in recession when you combine this with real GDP. You guys remember back in 2022, we had two consecutive quarters of negative real GDP, and they came out and said, oh, no, not a recession. Nothing to see here, because we didn't have high rates of unemployment. Oh, we got to have high rates of unemployment. I'm sure if we get that, they're just going to move the definition again. They're going to change the position of the goalposts, if you will. But I think what we should really be looking at in terms of a recession, when you combine it with real GDP, is actually purchasing power. Because at the end of the day, what is the unemployment rate measuring? It's just measuring aggregate demand, or they're just using that as a proxy for aggregate demand. So when unemployment rate goes up, that's why the NBER, the agency that's in charge of determining when it is we actually go into recession, that's what they're using as a proxy for demand. You figure that's 70% of the economy, consumption. So they figure that the only way demand, aggregate demand, can go down is if unemployment goes up. Therefore, that's what they get hyper-focused on. But as we know, we've lived this over the last couple of years. It's not just about whether or not people have a job. It's about whether or not their wages are keeping up with the rate of inflation. And if you've got inflation here and wages here, if there's a delta, then it's going to have the exact same impact on the economy as having a high unemployment rate. So let's go right over to this article from CNBC. You guys will see exactly what I'm referring to. 29% of households have jobs, but struggle to cover basic needs. And again, this is not George Gammon talking. This is not the tinfoil hatter on YouTube. This isn't fear mongering. This isn't the Alex Jones of economics or any of this stuff. This is straight from the personal finance section today. CNBC, right here. They are one emergency from poverty. Yet somehow, when you listen to the mainstream media, the economy's booming. In fact, the economy's too hot, if anything. I mean, can you imagine if the economy wasn't as hot, if it was just doing really, really well? Then what would we have? 50% of households on the brink of poverty? And then if the economy was just doing so-so, we'd have 75% of U.S. households on the brink of poverty. I mean, this is to sit there and say with a straight face that the United States economy is running on all eight cylinders. And the thing that we should really be concerned with is the economy just doing too well. It's just moronic. You cannot say that with a straight face. Let's get down into this article. Key talking points. The number of households that live above the poverty line but are barely scraping by is ticking higher. Exactly what you'd expect to see in a booming economy, right? Currently, nearly 40 million Americans are defined as ALICE, which stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained but Employed. And I think that would pretty much define most of Americans, not just 40 million. Next, he talked about high inflation and higher interest rates have taken a hefty toll, and there's little relief in sight. So keep in mind, this 40 million number that they're giving you, which I would argue is much higher based on my experience and just talking with average Joes and Janes on the channel and when I'm in the United States, you've got to keep in mind this is combined, or this is on top of the people who are defined as under the poverty line. So it's just barely above the poverty line, but it doesn't include the, let's just say, 20 million that are below the poverty line. So that takes you up to 60 million if you believe this number. And I think that's low. I would say if you take the ALICE people and the people living below the official poverty line, I'll bet you're at 100 million people, especially when you exclude the coasts. And that's where all these financial elite type live. And they think that just because all their buddies are joining the nearest country club and driving around Aston Martins because they have assets and their assets have gone up 10 times since 2020, they believe that that's just representative of everybody in the United States. And then you ask them, oh, dude, when's the last time you were in the Midwest? The Midwest? Never. I would never go to the Midwest. You know, deal with all those Trump supporters? or deal with all those insurrectionists or whatever they call them. I mean, let's just be honest here for a moment. The snobby types on the left and the right, for that matter, in on the coasts, whether it's the West Coast or the East Coast, they loathe the middle class in the Midwest. I mean, they cannot stand to be around them. They are so egotistical. They are so self-centered, and they are just so elitist that just the thought of just some normal person in Kansas or Oklahoma or something, it just totally puts them off. Like, oh boy. Yeah, no thanks. And so they, again, see the world through that lens. And in their world, the economy is booming. Absolutely. So why should we not believe Jerome Powell when this excludes the real 100 million out there that aren't part of this 1%? You know, it's very similar to when I went on Fresh and Fit the last time. If you guys are familiar with that show, two kids who are just probably some of the most hardworking people I've ever seen in my life. And they do a great podcast in the kind of men's space. And they always interview some of these gals on there that maybe 21, 22, 20, kind of in their 20s. And these are gals, a lot of them are decent looking. And especially at that age, you know, they're going out with all these guys in Miami that are rich and whatnot. And the Fresh and Fit guys, Myron and Walter, they'll ask them, you know, what do you think the average wage is in the United States? And they will literally say $100,000 or $200,000. I mean, they are so detached from reality because it's just not their world. They're sitting there posting, you know, butt selfies on Instagram, and I'm not going to condemn them for that. More power to them. But it gets them a lot of attention from guys that are in a very high income bracket in Miami. And therefore, if the last 10 guys that they have dated are making $250,000 a year at that age, they just think, well, that's normal. Of course. I mean, yeah, if you have like a job working at Nordstrom's, obviously you're making $250,000. And it reminds me of the people on the coasts that fall into that category. When they own assets, they have this huge stock portfolio, they have all these things, including the country club membership and the brand new Aston Martin. So they just use that as a proxy of the overall economy. And they totally ignore the fact that it's becoming more and more and more and more bifurcated. And that the if that's 100 million people in the Alice class now, I don't see why we wouldn't expect that to continue to get worse. You have to look at the policies or what has happened in the United States to create that to begin with. Once you step back and determine what the factors are that went into this phenomenon, then you can ask yourself, okay, what are the probabilities that this continues? And I would say that the probability is extremely high.
Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do. And this year, it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd.
Nearly 40 million Americans, or 29% of the population, fall in the ALICE category. Again, that's asset limited, income constrained, employed. According to the United Way's United for Alice program, which first coined the term to refer to households earning above the poverty line but less than what they need to get by. The figure doesn't include the 37.9 million. I said 20 million. Sorry. I should have doubled it. So the basically 40 million people who live in poverty, which accounts for another 11.5% of the total population. So think about that. Let's just assume for a moment, this is 60 million, which I think it was probably higher than that. That is 100 million that's one in three Americans. One in three Americans are basically at or on the brink of poverty. And yet you are being gaslit constantly by the elites on both coasts and the mainstream media to believe that the economy is in fuego. And if you want to say it's anything otherwise, then you just don't know how good you've got it. You just because you can't balance your checkbook at the end of the month, just because you can't afford to put a roof over your head or food on the table, you can't tell me that this isn't the best economy we've ever seen in the United States. I mean, that's the level of insanity we're dealing with. Stubborn inflation has driven many households near the breaking point, but the pain of high prices has not been shared equally. By most measures, low-income households have been the hardest hit. Well, it's always the poor and middle class. But let's be honest. In fact, this is another thing that really gets me going. To believe the economy is healthy right now from a fundamental standpoint is to believe that way back in 2019, that we could lock down, we could lock everybody in a cage, we could totally shut down global production of the economy for a year, and it somehow would not only not impact the economy, but it would not have an impact on the poor and middle class. Like if you would have asked any sane human being in 2019, hey, you know, what do you think would happen from a standpoint of the economy if we just locked everyone in a cage for a year and a half and wouldn't let them out of their house? Do you think, A, the economy would be booming 2 years after that? Or B, do you think we would be in the greatest depression since the 1930s? And actually something that would make the 1930s look like a picnic. Any sane human being would have said the latter. Yet somehow we ignore all that and just assume that, we are wrong. Boy, I guess you can just lock the economy down for 2 years and not produce anything and put half the small and mid-sized businesses out of business. And it just doesn't even do anything. Think about how ridiculous that is to say out loud. Yet somehow the mainstream media is trying to get you to believe that. Just crazy. I mean, that's what I'd ask your friend and family member, Fred, right now, that calls you a fearmonger for saying the economy isn't doing that well. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You just don't realize how good you've got it. Say, okay, well, if what you're saying is true, then that means we can shut down the global economy for 2 years and it doesn't do anything. Is that your position? And then try to see how they weasel their way out of that one. Getting back to the article. Even though we've seen wage growth on the low to moderate income, that's also where the inflation has hit the hardest. This is something that I've been saying on this channel for quite some time. You can't just look at the average wage growth, compare it to inflation, and then say, oh yeah, we had negative real wage growth there for a while, but more recently we've had positive wage growth. That's not understanding the nuance. Let's go over to the Atlanta Fed, and I'll show you exactly what I'm referring to. So this is the actual wage growth broken down by age. And you can see this green line represents an age group 16 to 24. So this would be included in the average. And look at how much higher their income has gone up in nominal terms than, let's just say, the average mom and dad that's 35 years old with three kids that's really struggling right now. You see, the 20-year-old, their wages have gone way up. But does that really matter? Are they feeling the impact of inflation when they're living at home, when they're living in their parents' basement, when they just eat whatever's in their parents' refrigerator, when they just borrow their parents' car, or they just Uber? They really haven't felt the impact of inflation because they don't have any of those expenses. But yet they've seen their wages go up. I mean, look at this. 2022, year over year, their wages were up 13% just for the year. So that's why you go to the cafe, the restaurant, the bowling alley, the movie theater, the Instagram vacations, and it's just packed with young people. Of course, they've received all the benefits of wage growth without any of the costs of consumer price inflation. But unfortunately, for all the other adults that are over 25, that have kids, that have responsibilities, that have to put a roof over their head, that have to put food on the table, for them, their wages haven't gone up even close to the levels of what the government admits to as far as the CPI. And when you look at the U.S. economy through this lens, it all starts to make sense. It all makes sense. Let's get back to the CNBC article. Here's the CPI that they're referring to. And then we go down and, oh, here's another bullet point that they don't want you to know about or they don't want you to see. Credit card debt in the United States at an all-time high. And they say, oh, yeah, sure. Well, you can't look at that. I mean, that's not adjusted for inflation. Okay, well, then let's just go ahead and look at defaults. And we see that, oh, yeah, by the way, credit card delinquency has climbed to 3.1% at the end of 2023, the highest level in 12 years. So basically what you have is you have these Alice folks, let's just call 100 million hardworking Americans, that are struggling. And there's such a delta between prices and their wages, that delta is getting worse and worse and worse to where they're getting to the point where they don't have a choice but to put things on a credit card and just hope and pray that something changes over the next 3 months. They're just buying themselves time, really. But what happens after this, or right now, is they start defaulting on the credit cards because they haven't been able to get another job. They haven't been able to get more hours. They haven't been able to make more money to pay those credit card bills, which, oh, by the way, have a much higher interest rate than they did 3 or 4 years ago. And this CNBC backs up exactly what I'm saying. In the meantime, lower income households have fewer ways to reduce or change their spending habits and less savings or investment accounts to fall back on. To bridge the gap, some families are increasingly relying on credit card to cover some bills. In the past year, credit card debt spiked to all-time highs, while the personal savings rate fell and credit card delinquency rates climbed to 3.1%, like we said earlier, highest level in 12 years, according to the Fed data themselves. So the bottom line is when we are looking at recession and recession indicators, we shouldn't just focus and hyper-focus on the unemployment rate. We have to also consider the purchasing power of the average American. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.